Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, Tuesday. What's up? Welcome in. June 15th, 2021. Grant and Danny on the fan. Darryl Green. You may know him. Hall of Famer. Legend. Great guest. 3 o'clock today. 58 minutes out. Pumped about that. What's up, Danny?
Hey, dude. Big long bike ride today. Beautiful outside. Got Darryl Green on the radio program. Charles Barkley shouted us out on national television last night after coming on with us for 45 minutes yesterday. Just normal stuff, man. Just a regular week of sports. Regular week.
Things are happening.
Things are picking up.
I'm excited. This makes me a baseball nerd. I get that. Tonight, I am going to Bowie, Maryland when we're done. I'm going to watch Grayson Rodriguez pitch in Double-A baseball. He's going to be throwing 100 miles an hour on average tonight because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. He averages 99.6 miles an hour on his fastball. Former first-round pick, 11th overall by the Orioles. Throwing to the former number one overall pick, Adley Rutschman, the Bowie Bay Sox.
And Oregon State product?
Oregon State
product. Oregon State, ding.
And I'm going to get a beer koozie just for going to the game.
So I don't know how to quantify this to our listening folks. If you're new to the show, first of all, welcome. Second of all, the mostest, grantiest thing possible may be that.
What?
You going to a minor league ballpark and like thinking about it in advance. Seeing a couple of prospects.
Oh, this has been days in the making.
This is your wheelhouse. This is like there's going to be chicken tenders and fries and probably some ice cream for your kids. You are in your element.
So I told CK a couple days ago I was doing this. Like days ago, and I said I'm so excited, and he goes, "I can't tell you how not excited I would be to do that." And that's fine. But if you're in the Bowie area and you like seeing dudes who are about to be
Cy Young caliber
major league pitchers who sit 100.
I love that stadium, too, by the way.
It's a great stadium.
I love that place.
Grayson Rodriguez makes his first home start in Double-A for Bowie tonight. Orioles farm in. They've done a great job in their system. So, anyway, I'm excited about that. I'm jacked up. It's going to be great. You go to a minor league game, you get incredible seats for very cheap. You get something normally when you walk in the door. I'm going to bring the kids. It'll be their first baseball game ever. And I'm actually going to listen to Charlie and Dave in the seats. I've got my Odyssey app. I got the MLB At Bat app. I brought my earphones in my bag. So I'll sit there and listen to the Nats game while I watch the Orioles double-A team play the Indians double-A.
Not too shabby. Beautiful night, too, I think, right? It's supposed to be nice.
80 degrees and dry, if you're into that kind of thing, when the sun goes down.
Not a baby.
I am. Yeah, I feel good about it. Okay, so let's start here. There's a lot to get to, and we will get into the Major League Baseball memo that's been sent out in just a couple of minutes. It sounds like, Danny, pitchers will be suspended with pay for 10 days if they get caught using sticky stuff from now on. So we'll get into that in a second. But I want to start here. I saw a story out of Dolphins camp that Xavien Howard, who had 10 interceptions last year, is holding out from minicamp. And generally speaking, I am pro holdout and I am pro player. I think players should get every penny that they can. They deserve to be paid for their services. And so when a guy is dramatically underpaid, when someone is deserving of a raise, the best way for you to get that raise is to hold out. And I think it's well within the player's rights to do so. in this country. No ticky, no laundry. In this country, Danny, you get as much money as you can whenever you can. I'm cool with that.
Yep.
Right? Capitalism. Supply and demand world. But does this make me anti-player in some way? I hate when players who have already gotten paid a massive contract hold out to get another one just a couple of years later. Here's what I mean. Xavien Howard is one of the highest paid corners in the league. He signed his deal in 2019 as the number one paid corner in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You fast forward a year and a half, and there are now five guys that have been paid since.
The normal course of events, right? That's what happens with the market.
So now, even though he's really well paid, and they've already given him the top of the line money that he earned, he said, I want a raise, and they agreed to give him the raise. Now, because more guys are getting paid more than him, and he's the best corner in the league in his mind, he wants to be paid as the number one guy again. This is the equivalent to me of going through the line at the cafeteria, getting your food, and then you see that someone behind you like got two sandwiches and you only got one, or maybe they put something else out when you weren't in line, so now you want to skip in line again. I like to be pro player. Tell me I'm not if you want to. This never sits right with me. So does that make me a hypocrite?
No, here's what it makes. It makes you nuanced. In other words, if you are knee-jerk no matter what, anytime there's a player versus management situation, you know, there's no general situation, but sometimes it happens, right, where we could sort of say, put it under a big umbrella, and you always default to the player no matter what, yeah, you're 100% player. You could be mostly on the side of players, which is where I tend to be, right, where I go, I get it. When I was a kid, I couldn't stand it when guys held out. It drove, because it was my team that was being affected. It drove me nuts because I care about the team. Now that I've gotten older, I kind of understand a little bit more. I get it. You get cast aside, and the league and the management, they have so many rights, so much more leverage than you do. The instant you're not as useful to them, you're no longer the celebrated hero. You are out on your duff with nothing. I get it. Get what you can while you can. But there's also a limit to it. There's a governor on it. It's not to say that every year you hold out. Every time the market moves a millimeter, you're going to hold out and be the highest paid cornerback in the league?
That's my frustration.
That's a reasonable stance, dude.
So he signed a huge contract, 5 years and $75 million to make a little over $15 million per. They've taken care of you. This is now fair all the way around. You were a great player. They paid you for being great.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait maybe till the end of that contract. But to just get right back in line a couple of years later, it just never feels good to me. Trent Williams did this same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone said, oh, Washington's got to pay him again. Well, no. They paid him. He's one of the five highest paid tackles in the league. Just because he's better than a couple of the guys who have been paid recently, that's how the market works.
Yeah, you set the market, then it gets exceeded.
If you sell your house,
mm-hmm.
let's say you sell your house. I'm just going to use round numbers.
Sure.
Congratulations, you just sold your house for $1 million.
Oh, nice.
How's that for
I'm
fun?
Just feeling good.
This is a DC example if I've ever heard of it.
Well, it'd probably be a condo, but I see your point. Yeah.
So you sell your house for a mil.
Uh-huh.
House next to yours isn't as good as yours. Get sold right after that, it benefits from you making a mil.
Certainly did.
It now goes for 1.1.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to go back and say, actually, I want 1.2. And that's what these players do sometimes. Whereas I am on your team, Xavien Howard, if you have not gotten your raise yet, if you're still paid like some jag cornerback, if you're the 26th highest paid corner in the league, you're Denzel Ward or Chidobe Awuzie, the former Cowboy now with the Bengals, or Jonathan Jones, you're making $7 million. All right, all day long, I'm on your team. Let's get you paid. But you now make 15 per. Because you've seen Jalen Ramsey make 20, Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens make 19.5, Tre'Davious White of Buffalo, 17.2. Heck, he's got someone on his team now that makes more than him.
Mm.
Byron Jones, who they signed in free agency last
year.
Also
from Dallas, right?
He was, yeah. 16.5 mil AAV. So Xavien Howard is the sixth highest paid corner in the league, second highest paid corner on his own team. He wants to be paid again. I know that, you know, we'll have guys from the PA or players on all the time, and they'll say, dude, you're taking the team side. I guess on this one I am, but I can't pay you every year to keep up with the bench.
Yeah, how often do you get to go back to the table, I guess would be the question, right? And again, it's...
I'd say when you're dramatically underpaid.
Yeah, all we're saying is there's a limit to it. Nobody is saying that a player who's a fourth-round pick who's making pittance in year three of his deal, who's been a starter for 3 years, who doesn't get paid like a veteran, like Jalen Ramsey, getting $20 million. Hey, this guy's underpaid. Like, Alfred Morris, when he was here, was dramatically underpaid. A dude that pretty much set the a top three in all-time rushing history in Washington. I think he set the team record, or he was close to it, right? Whatever the yardage record was in his first season. That guy was underpaid. He was getting paid like one of us, toting the rock, getting hit 300 times. That's underpaid. Hold out, dude.
Yes.
All in. If you do that, and then you hold out the next year, you hold out the next year, what's the stop? Where does it end?
I guess, you know, if I was, I don't like making rules, because as you said, I'm a nuanced guy. I'm a context guy. Generally speaking, if you're one of the top 7, 8, 9, 10 paid players at your position, and you've already gotten a handsome raise, let's play football. That's generally kind of how I feel. Mm-hmm. Now, if Howard says, you're using the logic to support me the first time that I'm underpaid because I'm better than the guys around me that make a lot more, I'm still better than those guys who make more. Why can't we use the same logic? And his point has some merit, I suppose. I don't know what to tell him other than it just doesn't feel right, man. You got your raise. You got your money. Only 5 guys make more than you. You make $15 million per year. And he'll say, well, the market now is that the best make 20. One guy does. 2 guys make over 19. But it's just a slippery slope of, at some point, we got to be fair. And what's fair is paying you like you're one of the best in the league, and then you actually living out some of your contract before you come back asking for more money. Last year, he picked off 10 passes. We should ask Daryl Green about this. Not only a corner, but a legend and a guy who was in the league a little bit before it became whatever it is now as far as money goes. I mean, it's not like he didn't do okay for himself as a premier player who went to the Hall of Fame. But he'd probably have a strong opinion on this. So we'll ask Daryl about this. He comes on the show today at 3 o'clock. All right, let's get to MLB players and the fact that pitchers who get caught using foreign substances, I guess any player really, because if a position player is helping them, they can also be ejected and suspended. But it's going to be 10 games with pay. I don't think I've ever heard at any point of a suspension in baseball or in any sport with pay.
That is as light as... I don't even know how to say this the right way. That is a pseudo punishment to me for a pitcher. That means you probably miss an outing or two, which you probably could use anyway, and you get paid to do it. That is not enough of a disincentive for me.
You don't think that stops you from doing it?
I don't think it would.
But there's a shame to it. There's an embarrassment to it where you become, quote unquote, a cheater. You become labeled. Mm. You start wearing around that scarlet letter for the sticky stuff. I think that's as big a detriment and deterrent from this suspension as anything.
You might be right about that. I mean, there is a human psychology factor to it. But when I hear basically a few days of rest and your money's intact, to me, the money part is the thing.
How are they not suspending these guys without pay?
Because to me, if you give me a choice, let me try to put it this way. Let me see if I can make more sense of my gut feeling on this. If choice number one is you can keep playing, but we're docking you 10 game checks. Or you're suspended for 10 games with pay, I would opt for the game check thing for severity, because you still get your scarlet letter. You still got to walk into every arena with all the shame, and everybody knows that you ain't getting paid for this and while you're still here serving time. I'd be in on that over the 10 games with pay thing.
Yeah, you're talking about 6% of the season, I believe. So some quick math here with a calculator, because that's how I've got to do it.
Sure, of course.
You'd be without, if you're a $10 million player a year, like $600,000 or something like that, if you were to get suspended for this for a couple of weeks without pay.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big deal. But suspended with pay, I just don't understand the logic. Baseball's telling us this is a real problem. This is an issue. This is a situation of peril. We can't wait until the offseason. That was their original plan. Remember, this year was supposed to just be,
we did some fact-finding, and the facts we found out are alarming.
Yeah, they said at the beginning of the year to players and to pitchers, we're not going to suspend anyone. No one's going to be in trouble. We just got to find out what's going on. That was their plan for the whole year. And they found out so quickly that this is so rampant and such a big deal and perhaps so helpful to pitchers that they have thrown that plan out the window, and on June 15th sent a memo to teams today saying I think it's a week from now they're going to start the actual suspension.
22nd, I thought I read, yeah.
So, yeah, about 7 days from today. So, starting pitchers get checked twice. Relievers get checked once in games while they're pitching, coming on or off the mound at random times. But you're saying this is a massive problem and a big deal and you've got to fix this, but it's not a big enough deal to suspend them without pay?
So, in disciplining, and your kids are so young, so they don't understand consequence yet. But as your kids start to get older, my oldest is now 7, will turn 8 in a few months. You have to do if you cross this line, the consequence is so severe that you learn not to cross the line. And kids, that's something they struggle with, and I'm going somewhere with it. If I send my son to his room for 90 seconds with his iPad, that's not a deterrent. He'd probably rather do that anyway. This is nowhere near enough of a deterrent to me for the consequences. It's worth the risk. If I'm a guy that's entering free agency, or if I'm a guy that's on a team and I'm trying to get paid, or I'm trying to get my numbers up in arbitration or whatever, missing a couple appearances is not enough of a deterrent for me. Yeah, the scarlet letter is going to stink, and my teammates are going to be the side eye, but I also happen to know that 97% of them are doing it.
See, I disagree with that. And yes, a lot of guys are doing it, so that cushions the blow and makes you feel a little bit better if you get caught. But it does not change the fact that fans don't have a great feel for how prevalent this is.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep using this analogy, but it's speeding and they're going to think you robbed a bank. Right? It's not that big of a thing, really, because it's a violation of a rule, mm-hmm. yes, but it wasn't really a rule because you couldn't get in trouble for doing it. If you can't get in trouble for doing something, then it's not really a rule. That's how I feel. And so fans, I think, in their reaction, it's going to be strong.
You think so?
Absolutely. You're going to have some hot take columnist say that the first pitcher who gets caught who's a legend, whether it's Cole or Bauer or Scherzer or anybody else, shouldn't go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, just dumb stuff, which is outrageous and stupid and ridiculous. But like, those conversations in baseball always start to happen and this thing spirals out of control, which is why I think it is a huge deal. It's enough for me that if I'm doing it, I'm stopping today. A, I don't want the suspension. But B, more importantly, I've been doing this because it wasn't really a problem, because it wasn't really against the rules. There was an unwritten rule all over the game that said, do what your peers are doing, so that I was doing it. Now it's against the rules. I'm going to stop doing it. For me, it's enough of a deterrent.
I smell what you're cooking. I just think back to the steroid era, and guys did it because they saw success of other guys doing it.
But when they started to say they were going to suspend guys, they stopped doing it. Now,
those suspensions are way stiffer. Yeah, and everybody got their, it was this open secret for however many years, and then everyone decided it was a moral outrage once baseball was like, hey, we're going to try to suspend for this. So maybe you're right about that point, where fans will react. But I don't think people take this as seriously as they did that for whatever reason. That's kind of been my stance
why,
on this.
In my
stance
opinion, sucks. It's not federally illegal. Like, I think
it's a big part of it. Yeah.
Steroids is drugs. Like, mm-hmm. that's something if I bought it, I could get arrested for it, not playing in the major leagues.
Yeah.
This is throwing a baseball with some glue. I mean, I think people maybe take it a little bit less seriously for that reason. But let's open up the phones on this, and let's get the Gambit DC listener lines working here at 800-636-1067. Ryan, do a couple stretches. I think people might hop in on the phones
on this. Get loose, buddy.
Get loose. They're coming. 800-636-1067. So I like this disagreement. Is this enough of a deterrent if you are using the sticky stuff and it's benefiting you immensely to stop doing it? 10-day suspension without pay. Public humiliation, obviously, ejection from a game. Would you stop doing it out of fear of 10 days you're suspended with pay? It's not without pay, it's with pay. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll see what people think about this next. And Daryl Green's on the show today at 3 o'clock on Grant and Danny.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. Baseball sent a memo today to teams saying if pitchers are caught using the sticky, they'll get a 10-game suspension with pay. They're so angry about this, they're going to suspend you with pay. Having said that, I do think it's enough to make guys stop, and here's why. I think really the fear out of the shame of the embarrassment of being caught, and I'll use quotes here, cheating, even though the majority of pitchers are using something at this point, it seems like, along the lines of the sticky, is going to be enough to get guys to stop. You've been doing it because you couldn't get in trouble. Now you can get in trouble. I think most of those guys will stop, and there's going to be some knuckleheads who don't, just like there were some silly geese who didn't stop using PEDs, and they got busted after that, a lot of them. So I think that this will slow this down and that this is enough to make pitchers think twice. I know, Danny, you disagree.
Yeah, I don't. So what guys did for steroids is they found masking agents and had chemistry sets that were better than the tests. And, you know, there were still plenty of guys that, as you said, got popped. So it wasn't even you getting popped for steroids.
Many. I mean, we can name the guys, you know, well, in the big leagues.
The guys that ended up getting caught, but I don't, you know,
you don't think that it's way fewer players using steroids
today? I definitely do. But my point is it wasn't this instantaneous, they snapped their fingers and it was gone. It was, we figured out some other things that you couldn't track. And you know, there are plenty of guys that never tested positive officially in the program that we all sort of still suspect of having done it. But I digress. To this one, this is different. I don't know how to explain it, but I think your distinction of it's an illegal drug when you talk about steroids, that it's hard to get, you have to do this kind of black market thing. This is, every clubhouse guy is doing this, and they're just going to ask him, hey, do it in a more subtle way, or give me a little bit less in a certain part of my glove, or something like that. I think guys will stop for a week, and then they'll realize they can't really enforce this, and they'll go back to speeding on the highway. I really do. I think this is nowhere near stern enough where they'll just get a couple days off and they go, yeah, it's not a big deal. Everyone's doing it. I need it because I need the money in arbitration. I need the money in free agency. I need to continue to be on rosters.
Another big part of this to me is like, how big of a deal is it maybe, or how wrong is it that they're doing it? And here's what I mean. If you go to, say, a 25-game suspension or something like that, that's way too much for me. It's just way, way, way too much. Because unlike steroids, from the beginning of time, pitchers have used foreign substances. We care more right now this second than ever before. And I think the reason for that is fans like me can go to Baseball Savant on any given game and check spin rates now, which we couldn't do before. Mm-hmm. And if you see a jump in a couple hundred year to year, start to start, you can tell, well, that guy was using something or doing something. If it wasn't very obvious for fans by way of all these analytics that are now available, I don't think baseball would care that much. The other part of it is obviously offense being way down. They're trying to quell that issue. They think this is one way to do that. But I really don't think it's, while it's just as impactful on the game, let's say, as steroids, I don't think it's nearly as big of a deal to baseball from the perspective of 40 years before the steroid era, maybe a guy was using a greenie. You know, something like, somebody was using something, but it just wasn't quite the same.
Well, but the numbers didn't end up out of whack, so nobody cared.
Right, but now you're using, a lot of guys, something that's a little bit different or a little bit stickier than what the guy that taught you how to do it 20 years ago used. But if you go back 50 years ago, like we'll have Mike Stanton on the show today. Mm-hmm. Mike Stanton's number two all-time to Jesse Orosco in appearances in Major League Baseball. Pitched for the Nats among pretty much every other team in the major leagues over like 18 years. He's going to join us in the 6 o'clock segment. We'll ask him this, but when he debuted, when I was 1 year old in 1989, everyone was using something. Now, then it was probably just more like sunblock, but the technology's gotten better. The stuff has changed some. I just don't love the idea of like vilifying these guys who aren't doing anything that different than what guys have always done.
So let me try to come up with an analogy on that. And I think you make a good point. Guys have always taken a supplement to be stronger. Not always, but as we learn more about weightlifting. So creatine, fine. But eating certain kinds of protein or this recovery or this thing from, the store, the G, what's the thing I'm trying to blank? Why am I blanking on the name of the store?
GNC.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. Good Lord. Talk for a living. But, you know, this supplement from GNC was fine, but then this one's not. A big step up is steroids. A big step up is the cream, the clear, HGH, etc. Rosin. That's a normal ubiquitous substance. That's pretty normal. That's a normal thing. Using a chemistry set with the Moda stick, pine tar, rosin, burning things into ash and making this sludge substance where the ball feels like it's been glued to your fingers, different than just a little rosin and sunscreen.
Very different. Here's the only thing, though. It was kind of okay to do it. Like, your peers are all doing it.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole in that really bad answer where he was like, I don't know what
to answer that question.
I don't know what to do with my hands. Where's my nose and my mouth and my feet are size 13. Like, it was the weirdest answer ever.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things he said, if you wade through all the nonsense and the ums and the ahs and the you're embarrassing yourselves of that answer, was, I check in with my peers. What he meant was, I'm making sure that I'm not doing anything different than everyone else. Everyone else is doing the exact same thing. And so, to me, if I can't get in trouble, if baseball knows, teams know, I got team employees reaching out to people to get me this stuff, and I'm not going to get in trouble for doing it, it's not that big of a deal. If it was a big deal, I'd get in trouble for doing it. Trevor Bauer was begging baseball for 3 years, please do something, please do something. Okay, you're not going to do anything? I'll go win the Cy Young and make myself $40 million a year by using this. I don't have a problem with what he did.
Me neither.
I don't have a problem with what any of these guys
did. Me neither.
Let's go to Matt in Bowie, where I'm going tonight to watch Adley Rutschman and Grayson Rodriguez. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing all right.
Hey, dude.
I do think that this is going to be enough of a deterrent because not only do the pitchers get suspended for 10 games, but in the Washington Post, they noted that teams can't replace them on the roster. So the team loses a roster spot in addition to the player or players that get suspended. So I think that aspect enough, if you're a team guy, then you're going to stop doing it. And probably most of these guys don't see it as cheating. Now that the league is kind of saying it's cheating, I would imagine majority of them will probably stop, even though some people, like you guys are saying, some bad apples will still do it because most of them weren't trying to cheat. They were just doing what everybody else was doing.
It's a great point right here. Players suspended for violations will not be replaced on the active roster.
Well, I missed that detail.
So you're playing a man down for the week and a half. I mean, you're basically penalizing your team.
That changes my opinion.
I think that's smart for baseball, by the way, because it makes it – embarrassing is the wrong word, but it makes you feel more like you're screwing
over
your team.
Yeah, you let the squad down. That changes my opinion, honestly. So thank you to the caller for pointing that out.
Another nuance to this, which I found interesting, is if managers are found to try to influence the game negatively when they ask for a check – so, like, you're trying to slow a guy down in the middle of an inning or DeGrom's rolling or whatever.
Yeah, some dudes get in a rhythm just firing dots at
you. The manager can get in trouble. Like, baseball will have a hearing and look at it and say, does it make sense that he asked right then? And if you're wrong about it and you did it at a time where it slows down the pace and kind of throws a pitcher off, the manager can get in trouble, which I kind of like. I think all checks, by the way, should happen before or after an inning starts. Like, coming out onto the mound or leaving the mound.
Yeah, during a commercial break. Get it done real quick.
Let's not complain about pace of play.
Agreed.
And then also have like a 57-second walk out and walk back with a minute and a half check so that Joe West can pat somebody down in 100-degree heat. Let's go to Aaron in Clarksburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, Aaron? How are you?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
What's up, man?
Doing well.
Good. I think the managers need to get suspended too, along with the players, because otherwise, I'm curious, you know, how this is going to impact the playoffs. Like, does it if you're in an elimination game, and you know this guy is more, you know, he's better on the mound with this sticky stuff out there. Maybe you send a guy lower in your bullpen, and you just take the risk of, you know, we might be without him next series, but he'll be effective right now. And,
but in an elimination game, Aaron, you ain't sending a guy low that doesn't matter in the next round out to pitch, because all of a sudden with the sticky stuff, he's going to be a star.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
You know what I mean? You're still using your best guys, right? Thanks for the call, buddy. I get what he's saying, though, in terms of if you want to penalize someone with the team. And that's an idea that's come up when we've taken calls on this, is the more things you can do to harm, for lack of a better term, the club.
You need serious deterrence here.
Absolutely. The better you are, because a pitcher might just say, especially a reliever, I'm just getting a break because my arm's been working hard anyway for a week and a half.
Yeah, Cal Finnegan could use 10 days. That guy's throwing every other second.
I'm missing 3 or 4 appearances. Cool. See you in a week and a half. I'll be paid to go put my feet up in my apartment and do a staycation.
Indeed. Kyle Finnegan and Sam Clay could go to the beach together. Go down to Dewey for a couple of days. They could use it. But so the roster spot thing is intriguing. But we touched on this just generally. If either this is a thing or it's not a thing, when it's kind of we're really serious about this and the punishment isn't as severe as maybe we sort of thought. I wonder what it's going to be next year. You know, this year, because it's on the fly, hey, we're all adjusting to this in real time. I think the data that Major League Baseball got back during their study was alarming enough to say we got to implement something. I think as you head towards the CBA, et cetera, there's going to be something that is either really severe or, God forbid, we come up with a universal thing, right?
That's still what needs to happen.
And I don't know why that's been that complicated.
So here's the part I don't get. I know that the spirit of this is to get rid of spider tack. One of the names.
Yeah, the chemistry stuff.
Exactly. Let's cut open the top of the Coca-Cola.
The Bunsen burner.
Cola bottle and heat up Coca-Cola and add pine tar. Like, that's what they're trying to catch. Are they actually, if they see a guy going to his arm, you know, for the very clear substance that we're used to of the rosin and the sunscreen, are they actually going to care about that for the rest of the season?
That's what I don't know.
That makes no sense to me. Like, that has quite literally been done since the second day of baseball.
You're in pants in 100-degree humid weather, and you're schwitzing up a storm out there as you're laboring through, you know, 5, 6, 7 innings of 100 pitches. You need rosin. That's absolutely a thing to dry it. And if you're pitching during the daytime, now, if it's a 10 o'clock at night type situation, maybe you don't need as much sunscreen slathered on your person. But, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that's been around forever. I have no issue with that.
Darryl Green, legendary Washington football team cornerback, is on the show today at 3. The Hall of Famer will be with us in about 20 minutes on GND next. Got news out of the NBA. The favorites to win the NBA Finals just got some really bad injury news. And I want to talk with you about Barry Trotz. I hate the Islanders. I find myself rooting for Barry Trotz to win another cup, though. How do I juxtapose those two things? I need you to help get me through this. Next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When I last checked today, the Brooklyn Nets are still the favorites to win it all.
I saw the same thing. Weird, right?
But they're underdogs in their current series now with the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't even know how that's possible.
I don't either.
They're not supposed to get out of this series, but if they do, they're going to win it all, I guess. And it makes sense because they'd get healthier. They're going to be without James Harden in Game 5.
He was trying to push to see if he could go.
He's been upgraded to doubtful. So he was out, now he's doubtful. But it's supposedly still going to be a no-go. Kyrie Irving is expected to not only be back tonight, and not only to miss tonight, and very likely to miss the rest of this series, but this report just came down a couple of minutes ago. The Nets are preparing to be without Kyrie Irving, who's got the injured ankle, for the rest of this series and maybe even into next series now. This is just breaking, according to Woj.
Oof.
So I gave the Bucks almost no chance. In fact, we had a listener tweet both of us when the Bucks were down 2-0. And he said something along the lines of, does Milwaukee have any chance to make this a series? And I said, doesn't look like it. I'm going to say no. Since then, they've won both games. But I didn't know.
How could you have known?
Yeah, I didn't know these guys were going to get hurt. And now, Charles Barkley, our best friend, who was on our show for 43 minutes yesterday.
Really good pal.
And shouted us out on TNT last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our good pal Charles, old Chuck. Do we start calling him Chuck now?
I don't know if we're there. What if we just make that leap and just see if he says anything?
If we don't get to call him Chuck, who does?
Well, as part of his best friend group. Remember, you sleep on this? He used to do ads for T-Mobile. He would go, who's in your five? And like you had, like you're part of your group of elite five friends. We're in his five.
Guy, you should have asked him yesterday who his five friends are. That'd been a great question.
I never didn't think of it until just now.
Oh, come on.
I know.
43 minutes with Chuck. That didn't come
we
to
could
mind.
Have come up with that one.
Anyway, he said five? Last night, if the Bucks don't win, like they should be embarrassed. And like now or never time, guys. And he's right. Golden opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm.
Pivot to the NHL for just a second. I got a Barry Trotz question for you. So for people that aren't tracking the NHL playoffs because the Caps are out, which is almost all of you, I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
No problem. Here's what I'll tell you. Old friend Barry Trotz, who won the Stanley Cup for the Washington Capitals, his contract expired at the end of the year, was in a bit of a negotiational standstill with the team. They allowed him to walk. He signed and went in division to New York. The Islanders have had way more playoff success since than the Capitals, obviously.
Because they've had some.
Islanders fans are, on a good day, the most annoying. On a bad day, like, abhorrent. Okay? It just depends on where you want to go with them. I can't stand the Islanders for that reason. I really like Matty Barzell, their best player. Most of their players, awful, in my opinion. Not in terms of playing hockey, but just in terms of trying to root for them as a Capitals fan. I love Barry Trotz.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. The other night, I'm watching them play Tampa Bay. They won Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Final. I was rooting for the Islanders, and I realized I want them to win the cup because I love Barry Trotz so much. And I want you to talk me out of that, if you wouldn't mind.
Not going to do it. What I'm going to do is double down.
You want them to win the cup, too?
100%.
But we hate the Islanders.
This,
and a lot of their players are insufferable.
They certainly are.
And their fans are worse.
All correct. Jordan Eberle, there's a wonderful place in hell waiting for him at some point in his life. Or when it's over, I suppose. I can't stand the Islanders. I want nothing but bad things for them and their fans. They robbed me of my joy in 1987. I hate Pat LaFontaine's guts. I'll go to my grave remembering that how they made it so that I stopped believing that joy could actually happen in sports. This is bigger than just my hatred for the Islanders. This is about I need a constant reminder. Every room inside every Capitals building, every office place, every hallway, every square inch should be plastered with reminders that it's irresponsible that Barry Trotz was allowed to leave and go coach somewhere else in favor of Todd Reardon. Irresponsible. Everyone involved that made that decision should have to apologize publicly for that every single day. Every press conference should be that. Every you know, every order of business, every time they meet with a client, every time they have a player interaction. I apologize for letting Barry Trotz go. Okay, now we can get on to any old business. Yes, the one thing, we apologize because we were arrogant about this whole coaching situation. We thought our guy that was everybody's buddy could step in for a team that was with a bunch of veterans, guys in their prime, and keep this thing on the track, and he could not. We should have kept Barry Trotz. We should have done everything we could to keep Trotz.
I was way more angry before because Reardon just didn't belong.
Mm-hmm.
Did not prove himself to be an NHL caliber coach, let alone a guy who deserved the keys to a really nice car, to your point.
Yep.
I don't have as much anguish and frustration now because
Laviolette's an adult.
That Trotz level of longtime accomplished cup caliber coach. But it doesn't change the fact that he is the one that got away, mm-hmm. that it shouldn't have happened, and that just like Davey Martinez, way less resume, way less success. Like Davey won the World Series. He's a made man. He's not going anywhere. And he, you know, has mostly been the manager of an underachieving or not very good team other than two-thirds of a season in 2019.
110 regular season games in a playoff,
but
yeah.
You touched all the right buttons and you win the World Series, you don't go anywhere. The opposite of that is Barry Trotz, who every year of his career has been one of the top coaches in the league and has won Jack Adams Awards and regularly gets his team a couple rounds deep into the playoffs, wins the cup, and it's fine. We got Todd Reardon waiting.
Yeah. What everybody should be doing is have to confront that all the time. And I want no moment to pass where people don't 100% recognize, and anyone that advocated for anything different should feel shame. So that's what I want. I want that. I want that as a glaring, shining example that no one can hide from. No one can kind of offer any excuse or otherwise that 4 years of the great Alex Ovechkin was wasted under Todd Reardon and Adam Oates.
Daryl Green is going to join us next on Grant and Danny. Let's do this. We are on Twitter. I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
That's funny, Danny, for me.
If you want to hit us up with a question for Daryl Green, let us know what you want us to ask the Hall of Famer, and we'll try to squeeze a few listener questions in for our conversation with him coming up at the top of the hour. I always start our interviews with Daryl Green by calling him Mr. Green because the first time I ever got to meet him, I called him Daryl, and he said, no, Mr. Green, you're a young man. I was like 10 years old. And I'd spent all of training camp going up to every single player, calling them Mr. And they'd be like, no, that's my dad's name. Call me Danny. No, that's
because they're like 22 years old at that point. Yeah.
And then I go up to Daryl Green. I'm like, well, if 30 guys are going to say this, hey, Daryl. And he's like, no, Mr. Green. So I always start out with Mr. Green. He's next.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.